gracious me.
Doctor, I'm in trouble. Doctor, I'm in trouble. Doctor, I'm in trouble.
Mr. Bone, how's it going?
Wicked, my friends. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I heard you'd just been released from the cells after being at that illegal rave in Hackney the other night, were you?
Just innocently passing by and then 14 hours later.
With your glow sticks and whistles, yeah?
No way. You'd never catch me at an illegal rave, Daz. You know me. Always tucked away in bed. I live and die by the Bob Hearn rules of Ultra. The minimum of 10 hours sleep a night.
Right. Yeah.
That's it. That's the only rule.
That's the only rule.
Talking of Bob, did you see his Facebook post?
I did not.
Bob is getting rid of all of his race tops from the last 10 plus years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, man.
Really?
Yeah, it's a wonderful, but obviously it's sad. You know, it's like a huge mountain of these epic races. So I had, obviously, what did I say, Daz? I went on there and said, you know, are there any Spartathlon shirts in there? And
yeah.
Thankfully, he said, absolutely no way.
He's not giving those ones away.
Not giving those away. I'm assuming that there's no rerun in America, you see. Otherwise, I'm sure Bob would be redistributing them to a rerun type cause.
Well, I think Dan was giving out Spartathlon tops from his rerun random for the Centurion virtual stuff, yeah.
Did you watch the live recording of that? It was hilarious.
I did not. No.
It's a great idea. I'm really impressed. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I don't think Dan has quite the same emotional attachment as
the bolster.
Taps off.
No tops required here, my friend. Make it away.
So, apart from illegal raves, what else have we got to promote on this podcast episode, David?
Wow, that is a beautiful question, buddy. Like I said, I was glued to the Boris cam today, my friend. Did you see that? No schools going back until March, but...
Is that March 2023?
March 2023, but expecting some news which will give us a nice warm glow about our hosting of the Center of the Universe Ultra. That's what we really want, isn't it, Daz?
The Center of the Universe Ultra.
COVID-proof.
A COVID-proof Center of the Universe Ultra. What is this master plan you've come up with, David?
Oh, this master plan. What, you mean it's about the run itself or my inner connections with Boris?
I think we better save your connections with Boris for a different day.
My illegal child with Boris.
I've heard some stories about Boris, actually.
They're all true. Every single one of them.
Have you heard the one about the steps of Waterloo Station?
Only you would know this stuff, Daz. No, tell me. Share.
I actually can't tell you because there's some kind of super injunction about this story. So I actually can't tell you.
Really?
But it's actually not Boris. It's a member of Boris's family on the steps of Waterloo Station. Look it up. I'm not going to say any more. So not you and Boris, but you and the Center of the Universe Ultra. What is the Center of the Universe Ultra, David?
The brilliant idea behind this event was to kind of maintain the Hackney finish that we love, our sort of manner, but broaden it out. So that you effectively can have the start of the race being kind of anywhere outside of a sort of 40-kilometer perimeter. So basically, if you were to map out a place north, south, east, and west from Hackney, about 40K, so you like typically you'd be looking at like St. Albans or Berkhamsted, those type of towns, to actually kind of, if you were to go to Google Maps and
Wimbledon.
And do a running version, that 40K crow fly is typically 50 kilometers. So we're looking to kind of get people to run 50K ultra marathon, but working with us to choose the starting place and finish with us back in Hackney,
AKA. At the illegal rave in Hackney.
The illegal rave.
Yeah.
It's foolproof.
So you and I will be waiting.
Well, we might be if we're allowed.
Okay.
But in spirit, we'll always be there, won't we, Daz?
We will be there in some shape or form. We could send an avatar. Have you got an avatar that you could send?
Well, you know I do, yeah. Yeah, get Alfie there. Hopefully. We've already built the app.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right enough. I hope we could do it. And when is it? Saturday this... I should know this, shouldn't I? The 17th of April? The 19th of April.
One of those. Whichever one is the Saturday. It's actually my birthday that weekend. And it's not far from your birthday. So it was going to be a glorious
the ages from my birthday.
Celebration of our birthdays, wasn't it?
Marvellous. It sounds marvellous. And where can people sign up for Centre of the Universe Ultra?
So two places, Daz. You can go to our website, which isn't up or working. Or perhaps you should go to Race Director, our good friend, Mr. Mills. And go to events on his Race Director website.
Perfect.
It's all there.
It's all on Race. Yeah, go to Race Director. Yeah. Perfect. That sounds great. Yeah.
What's so beautiful is that Chris will be supplying trackers.
Yes.
So we have this wonderful idea, don't we, Dads, that we will be doing like a live broadcast throughout the day, live tracking.
Absolutely.
Live contact of our runners. It's just going to be this wonderful togetherness, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So we can watch as the so far 30 or so people who've entered sort of arc their way into Hackney in a beautiful kind of arc, like a spiral.
Well, you had this brilliant art idea, didn't you?
I do have an art idea.
Visualizing it so that, you know, almost like trunks of light, wouldn't it? Arcing through. I think it's a great idea, buddy.
With some kind of randomization based on distance and pace, yeah, to create the artwork. It's going to be amazing.
Who would we get to make this artwork? Who's madder than us?
I think you could do it. You could be there with your crayons.
Crayon art. Homeschooling with artist bone.
I do like the idea of a bit of art, but I think we have to think about how we do it. But what are we going to... We're going to send some... So for people who enter, they're going to... Yeah. Get something from our fabulous sponsor, aren't they?
They are indeed. Our Comfuel.
Our dear friend, Mr. James Fox at Comfuel.
Yeah.
Will be providing enormous nutrition boxes for all the runners as part of their entry. It's probably enough to get you through about 100 miles rather than 50K. You don't need to carry it all. But that's part of the entry. And I think we've got a discount code we can share.
We certainly do.
Camino Fuel is the new discount code at comfuel.
Yes.
.co.uk. That's com with a K. K-O-M fuel.
Do you get off, Daz, when you use that code?
I think you get 20% off, dude.
Boom! 20% off. What's your
20% off prices that are already pretty good, right?
Absolutely, buddy. We are just the sales guys extraordinaire, aren't we?
We are. I love my Exhale coffee, actually.
Oh, mate, that's the best, isn't it?
Yeah, it was lovely. It's still got a nice coffee kick.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like you're doing yourself the damage that you can do with some strong coffees. I thought it does genuinely feel healthier, actually.
What flavours have you detected in this week's batch of coffee?
I don't really know. Toffee, apple, flavonoids. What did you detect?
Oh, mate, I'm not good at that kind of stuff.
It says on the packet.
Alex is going to murder us.
He's going to murder us, yeah.
Once again, doing our research. So
who do we have this week?
Well, we got a beautiful guest this week, haven't we? We first met our guest because he's been incredibly supportive of Camino throughout 2020, and he's signed up to both of our ultra events this year.
Yeah,
and he is a phenomenal talent, so he seemed like the perfect guest to star in our new Rising Stars series.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where we look to find great new talent out there. You know, there's always runners looking to kind of move onwards and upwards from marathon, and that may be trying their first 50K. But, you know, with this guy, what sort of blew us away was the fact that in the same calendar year, he went from kind of very Nathan Fleer-esque, he kind of went from
marathon to 100 mile and absolutely smashed it out of the park with a 15 hour solo London street run, 100 mile, which is
100 mile, yeah,
isn't it?
It's remarkable. And I think he is just a great example of somebody who, I mean, he's clearly a talented runner and pretty pacey at the shorter distances, but he has clearly just got the idea in his head that he can run further than the marathon, and he's gone out and just done it in a blaze of sort of virtual, all the virtual stuff that happened last year. And I think the reason that we were fascinated to chat with him is that he's not going to be well known in the ultra scene, but I think that's purely by virtue of COVID and what happened last year. And when he gets the chance to race, I think it's going to be great. It's going to be great to watch. And I think it's super exciting when somebody just discovers ultra at that stage in their lives. I mean, he's a little bit younger than us. Not that much younger, but you see, I guess he's coming to it a little bit late and just jumping through it really, really quickly. And it's great. And
he's got that freedom, isn't he? And that joy. Like I said, I think when you overthink it a lot, it becomes a pretty insurmountable challenge, isn't it? When you're building up to big ultras and then you perhaps are bedding in sort of big breaks away from it to kind of let your body recover. He's just not allowing himself any breaks. He finishes that 100 mile and he's kind of keeping a daily run streak going. His body's adapting to it. He's kind of got that ability within a few weeks. He's sort of resetting new challenges. And as we saw with the Ultra X, 50K World Championships run, I mean, he's head of the leaderboard, he's the guy to beat. And I think he perhaps doesn't realize just how amazing he is.
I don't think he realizes. Yeah, but I think what's fantastic to see as well is that he's enjoying running for the running, more than anything else. I mean, he's turning out these amazing performances, but he's clearly somebody who loves getting out there and doing it. And I think that's a lesson for all of us, is that if you're not enjoying the actual running, then you're doing it for any other reason, it's going to be difficult for you. And it's, I think that's something that shines through with a lot of really great runners, is that they just really love getting out there and running. It's awesome. We should put him on, shouldn't we?
Get him on, my friend.
So welcome, Julien, to the Rising Stars section of the Camino podcast. How are you, Julien?
I'm good. Very good. How are you?
Yeah, very good, my friend. Where are we speaking to you today? Where are you?
In London. Well, it's hard to go anywhere these days. So now in London, from home, working from home, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Julien, we first got to know you last year. You kindly started to sort of take part in some of our Camino events, and it wasn't long before we were totally blown away by not only your kind of weekly mileage, but the way you were kind of structuring your runs, the amazing kind of speed you were managing to kind of complete some of those runs, and also your beautiful photographs that you are always taking amongst these. So can you just kind of take us back a little bit? Where did your running first start, Julien? And when did you sort of start to kind of increase your miles and get quicker?
I would say the running itself started a few years back when I tagged along friends to go running in the park and for me, doing anything more than half an hour was kind of impossible. I would run at the gym, on the treadmill. After 10 minutes, I would get bored, think, okay, it's not for me. And I signed up for, first a half marathon, then later a marathon, because someone else signed up. And I just liked the challenge. I wouldn't say it was easy. The first marathon was really painful. I thought I would never do it again. And then the following year, I thought, actually, why not? And probably more by chance. So the first one was in Paris. Second one, the following year, I was supposed to run in Stockholm. And the same year, I got the chance to run London as well from a charity. And I was like, actually, two marathons a few weeks apart can't be that bad. I enjoyed myself in the first one. It was horrible. Second one was horrible as well. But I kept trying. So every year, it became kind of tradition to run marathons. And I thought, oh, it's nice. I can travel. I can enjoy, you know, different countries and so on. So what happened is I found out about this six-star thing, the marathon major program. And I thought, actually, mm-hmm. I'd quite like to do these six-star things. I had my bucket list of marathons. So I just kept running. But I increased, I would say, the load gradually and my speed gradually. My first marathon was like in the 4 hour mark, but I was very proud of it, you know, and so on. And I was like, oh, if I do like 10 minutes faster, it would be so amazing. And so I, every year I would try to push a bit more, try to get the 6 stars. It all went fine. What happened is last year, so 2020, because I knew someone who, like, crazy woman. I hope she doesn't listen.
Who is this, Julian?
She's an instructor in the local gym. She does, like, you know, these body pump classes, and she's amazing. But she did that crazy thing of running one marathon each month.
Oh, brilliant!
Ooh. I was really impressed. She did that. She's an amazing runner, and I thought, oh, if she can do it, maybe I can do it. And so last year I thought, okay, 2020 is going to be a big year. And I lined up one marathon every single month. I managed to qualify for a few of them and the other ones, and it was all lined up. And then the first 2 months went fine. Happened as planned. And then, you know, the bigger thing happened. So it all went down the drain. And I thought, I don't want to stop the momentum. I want to keep trying. So I just carried on running, really. And I was trying to set myself a big challenge each month to replace what I couldn't do because of the lockdown. And
where had you ended up with, Julian, with the marathon times? How low had you got that one?
In terms of speed or
speed, score? Yeah, yeah. PB for marathon.
PB, so, in 19, I managed to go under 3 hours. Was in Berlin.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say that. Fantastic. Yeah, yeah. Excellent.
It took a few years to get there. I didn't expect I would go to that kind of level. To be fair,
did you? What was the exact number?
I don't remember. You should always remember your PBs. but when they improve, you know, you forget the old ones. 258, 259 was just under 3 hours, but that was good enough.
I was trying to, I mean, you've beaten me by over 25 minutes, so no worries there. I was trying to figure out if you were faster than David so I could annoy him about that.
Yeah.
You need another few minutes for David. Yeah,
so that was in 19, and then in 20 actually improved. So my on a real race, my official fastest time is like 2:55 something, almost 2:56. I was in Sevilla, but then because I continued improving last year, I went all the way down to 2:51, a bit, hopefully I can continue the trend and go even faster if I actually train for a marathon. And so last year, because we were allowed this once a day exercise, I just thought, okay, we can do once a day. I will do once a day. And I started that streak at the beginning of the lockdown, but I haven't stopped yet. And I probably increased the mileage quite fast. Ended up with very big weeks, as you said, like 100-mile type of week, and just going all over town, all over London, discovering new areas I didn't know, but inspired by other people to see where they were going, what they were doing. And you had all these virtual challenges as well. And I thought, oh, I can try that. I think slowly I just got into going beyond the marathon distance to the ultra running, and then it got bigger and bigger, and last year was a crazy year in the end. I mean, as you know.
And now a cheeky little break whilst we hear from our sponsors, Comfuel.
Hi Caminos, this is James Fox, co-founder of Confuel. It's awesome to be part of the podcast and in sharing the similar passion of endurance sports. At Confuel, we understand how each person is unique and love specialising in sports nutrition, stocking over 40 plus brands so that you can pick and mix from the brands and flavours you love in the quantities you need. So anything from single items to boxes or pouches or tubs to fuel your next sessions or goals. With our awesome partnership with Caminos, you have an awesome 20% off all your orders. You only have to enter Camino Fuel at the checkout online at confuel.co.uk. We'd like to thank you and look forward to looking after every athlete and seeing your journeys or seeing you even out there soon.
I'm really fascinated, Julian. I guess, you know, knowing a lot of runners, especially at the half marathon and marathon distance, who always ask the question, how do I train for 50 kilometers, even before considering, you know, 100 kilometers or 100 miles? I would say for most people, they would really struggle to see themselves jumping to those bigger distances in the same calendar year. You know, they might pair, I guess, a couple of years to step up to 100 miles. And obviously in 2020, on those first couple of marathons, I mean, how on earth did you get your head round even the idea of running the 100 miles that you did for the Centurion Virtual, even before we get to discuss how you did it in such a mind-blowingly quick time? I mean, I'm curious to know, were you reading a lot, Julian? Did you read about other ultra runners? And, you know, were you following other ultra runners on Strava in terms of comparing your training with theirs? I mean, how did you get your head round that, you know, that was something that you were happy to jump up to?
So I was following other people, and for a long time I thought what they do is just mad. It's not for me. But when I start thinking something is possible or is within reach, then once it's in my head, you just can't take it out. And I'm very impatient. So I can't wait for years of training to get there. I want to try it right away. Probably why I jumped the distance quite fast. If you want, just as a background story, the first time I did the ultra marathon was in 19. When I was training for Berlin, and a few weeks before Berlin, because the training went well, I thought, actually, I'd quite like to see what it's like to go a little bit beyond 42 kilometers. And once I had that in mind, I just couldn't stop thinking about it. So I signed up at the last minute for a 50K race. That was early September. Berlin is at the end of the month. And that was my first and only ultra in 19. And that went well. And because I knew I could do it, then in 2020, when I had the opportunity again to try it, then I did, if you want, because I knew it was possible. The way it increased in distance is, it's actually Centurion had kind of an important role to play in the, I don't know if they know that. But, you had this first community challenge, I think it was in May.
Yeah.
And you had to do 100 mile in a week for the longest of the challenges. And I was already doing 100 mile a week at the time. For a few weeks, I was like, okay, if I just sign up and there's no challenge, I just sign up, I get a medal or something, like a buckle actually. And that's it. So I thought, oh, I have to do something harder.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, I'll do it in 3 days. So I took the 161 kilometer and did one third, 3 days in a row. And that's how I jumped in the ultra distance. And then I started looking at what people were doing around London. I've seen all your AFKTs. I mean, you have a very long collection of FKTs. I saw what other people were doing in town, and I saw the Jubilee Greenway, I think it's called. It's like 57-58k, and I thought in July, oh, I'll try that. So I did it in July, so I increased the distance there.
So Julian, can you just repeat that bit? Did you take one of David's FKTs off him?
I don't know if it was him, but I remember every time I checked FKTs, you always had this David Bone everywhere. It's like this guy.
Can you make a
loyalty card, or is it going to get?
He bribes them. He bribes them, Julian, to put his runs at the top.
Yeah, I mean, it's like every single. You know, you have this map of London on the FKT website, and you see these dots to see, oh, this is not too far from home. Oh, I try that one. You click on it and you see who's done it. And this guy is always there, like this David Bones. Okay. And I think that was before I found out about the Camino races and all of that. Yeah. But the name just stuck because you were just everywhere on these FKTs. So yes, you probably did that one.
I have never done that one.
Actually, you haven't. Okay. No. Well, now you know what you have to do this weekend. And so I did that one, and then. The ultra experience when in two different directions. The first direction is because the races could happen again. I had already signed up for a trail in Jersey Island. That's part of my marathon challenge. It was the only ultra I was supposed to do last year. So I did it. That was in August and went really well. I think I finished fourth in the race.
Was it the one that goes around the outside of the island?
Yeah, yeah, it just follows. It's the coastal path. It's like 8 miles of a lot of stairs. if you've done coastal paths, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. So that one, after the summer, I did more in the Chilterns, in the Peak District, always around the 50K kind of distance. It's a distance I actually quite like.
Did you come second in the Chiltern race?
I did. Yeah.
Do you know the guy that won it?
Well, we met at the race and we were following each other now. But it's funny because I remember running with him for part of the race. And yeah, crazy, I would say. Yeah. You just see him running. And he was, at the time I was not into running in the mud necessarily. If you see a big puddle, I would slow down. I would just walk around, you know. The guy would just flash, you know, run into it. So he knew he had no issue with that. And I think he's a local as well.
Yeah, Rory Pond. Yeah, yeah, great run.
Yeah, so, it's his playground, this race. So he knew the path very well. I got lost, by the way, on that one. Took a wrong turn, found another runner who was also lost. We ran back together. That was fun. And then there was the Peak District one, but then going back on the virtual ones, or the non-official ones, there was a challenge I had in mind because I'd seen the FKT and I'd seen people doing it. It's the Capital Ring, and I think that one you've done several times, or
exactly
not finished.
We're not fast enough for that one anymore. I think somebody's taken three hours off our time.
Yeah. And there was a race, I think it's called the Ultra London, that was supposed to happen in July. I had signed up for that one, but they split the ring in 2 days. Obviously, it got cancelled. But I still had in mind, I want to try it. And there's actually Alison Walker, that you know very well. I got in touch with her and I started asking her, can you tell me how you did it? Because I had never done that kind of distance. The longest run I'd done when I started planning it was like, 60K or, it's twice the distance. And she was telling me, I had lots of issues. There was this park that was shut down because there was a murder a few days before. You had all the paths that are locked because of COVID. And it was apparently she had a bit of a logistical nightmare doing it. She did it very well. She's a great runner. And I thought, okay, I will try to do it. So what I did is I rekeyed all the sections one by one over a few months. So starting from home, running to the ring, running a little bit of the ring, running back. That was a lot of running. But in the end, I knew the entire route that way. And then early September, I decided while there's still daylight, I would start at sunrise, try to finish by sunset.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. And I, finished it. I was in around the 12-hour mark. I think moving time, but we have this funny thing on Strava, moving time, elapsed time. Moving time was like 11 and a half or something. Elapsed time was a little bit over 12 hours, like 12 hours, 10 minutes or something.
It's really good. It's good. It's not an easy course. It's deceptive, isn't it?
No.
It's surprisingly hilly and quite steep in places,
Yeah. And there was no water on the way as well. All the fountains were shut, so I had to do a trip at the supermarket. on the way. Something I did on the 100 mile as well. There was then I knew, okay, I can do like 122, 120. Yeah, I think it's the distance. Yeah. Kilometers, and then I thought, oh, what can I do further? and I knew one day I would do 100 mile. And what happened is Centurion again them. They did this new challenge, I think in November. And I thought, okay, last time I did it in over 3 days, so let's try to do it in one go. And that's how I did 100 mile. But I didn't read or, you know, how people do it. I just thought, okay, this is the kind of speed I'm comfortable with, running for a very long time. You know, like the kind of jogging, you know, speed. And yeah.
Darren, I think I messaged you the moment I saw Julien's time for this 100-mile challenge he set himself. I was literally blown away that someone that, you know, I'd been following all these months, who clearly was a very good runner, to see anybody do a run where they just leave their house and do anything under 20 hours for 100 miles is pretty awesome. And you won't see many people doing that. I mean, Julien, you did it in, what was it, 15 hours? Just over 15 hours?
15:47.
Yeah.
That one I remember.
That is astonishing. It's absolutely astonishing. Yeah, that's just incredible. Yeah, I mean, I'm in shock thinking about it again. I don't know what to say.
It's just so beautiful. I mean, Julien, did you, thinking about it now, I mean, I'm assuming that you feel relatively confident that, you know, you could tackle that type of distance again and you'd make certain improvements in terms of, I mean, the fact that you're not taking any breaks on your body, that you're keeping this streak going. I mean, most people I know would have gone, as I said, much, much slower, knowing that in order to preserve their run streak, they would be running the following day. I mean, I remember seeing your runs on Strava. Clearly, they were your legs were a little bit sore, but just astonishing that, you know, you've just kept the streak going, and, you know, you've bounced from one of these amazing runs to another. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, how do you feel about it, buddy? I mean, in terms of where can you see your, you know, your dream targets now that you've, you know, you've achieved sort of 15 hour 100 miles, you know?
The thing with 100 miles is they're always different.
Yeah.
So you have flat ones, you have hilly ones. So you can't really compare the the times, but I would like to go less than 15 on the flat one. Yeah. I mean, mine was in London. Yeah. London's flat, so that was an easy one, relatively speaking. So, for example, I signed up for the Thames Path this year.
Hey, excellent!
Hopefully, it goes ahead. And that one, I would like to see if I can do around 15 hours or a bit less than 50 hours.
So exciting to think about you being there. We've got a lot of friends taking part in that race. So, yes. Yeah, so.
I'm going to get my ass kicked. I'm going to get my ass kicked in this race.
Are you doing it?
Hopefully. Oh. Yeah. I was hoping to break into the, I don't know, maybe the top 30 or something, but it's going to get harder and harder with all you young dudes. Where are you from, Julien? Are you from France or Spain?
Yeah.
Or?
No, I'm French, yeah.
I'd recommend just a random suggestion that you check out the French 24 hour. They are they're an impressive bunch. There's mm-hmm. there's a guy called Stéphane Ruel, mm-hmm. who's quite an inspirational character. I think Stéphane he's in his late 50s actually, but he's an incredible runner, and I think he was a world champion maybe 3 or 4 years ago, or maybe silver. France has got a really good 24-hour team. And if that's something, a direction that you want to take it, you might love that stuff.
Mm-hmm. But then you do it on the track or?
Not necessarily. It can be on a park circuit. So round and around like a 1K or 1 mile circuit. So there's obviously a big mental element. But yeah, what you've shown your potential at the 100-mile stuff is fantastic. And yeah, that's a kind of natural in the ultra world. The 24 hour is like the sort of blue riband event for runners like yourself. So mm-hmm. have a think about it.
It's exciting. I mean, did want to just mention, Gillian, so you have taken part in the our friends, the Ultra X Virtual World Championship 50K. Have you been following closely kind of where your, you know, your run appears in the league table?
Yes, I submitted my time this week, actually.
You're still ahead of the leaderboard.
I'm ahead of the board.
Are you ready to go back out again if somebody does a quicker time?
I don't know. There's only a few days left. I haven't planned yet what I'm going to do this weekend.
Yeah.
But I already did it second time because of you. Just for the story, the first time I did it was like 4 hours 15, I think. I stopped to take pictures. I always stop to take pictures when I run. That's my the big problem I have. I can't stop doing it.
I gave you a telling off, didn't I? I
said, yeah, stop. Exactly. And you said, stop doing that and try to do less than 4 hours. Yeah. So I think the next following week I went again.
Yeah.
I did take some pictures, less, and I did like 3:55 or something time-wise.
Come on, Julian, how quick do you think you could run a 50K at the moment? I mean, obviously, that's 1,000 metres of elevation, isn't it, you've got to add in?
Yeah, 1,200. I mean, the fastest flat 50K was the Lee Valley, your race, actually.
Yeah.
It was 3:34, I think I did.
Yeah.
That was the week before the 100 mile. I remember.
Jesus.
And then you have to add the elevation to that. So I could probably shave maybe 10 minutes more. I have no idea, to be fair. But yeah. I think I could still improve the time, yeah.
Astonishing, buddy.
It's impressive. Fantastic.
All roads lead to the Thames Path. Well, I can't wait to see you there. See what you do in that race. That would just be phenomenal.
Yeah, well, looking forward. I hope he goes ahead.
Yeah. David could offer to pace you for that race, Julian, but I would turn him down because he's not going to be able to keep up.
Not even for the last 20 miles.
No.
Well, he could cycle along and use lasers, you know, like his new way to pace races, apparently.
It's a new way. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Hi, Julian. It's been a real pleasure chatting to you, my friends. Really excited today. Cannot wait to see lockdown end and for us to smash a few FKTs, get some training runs in and enjoy some stuff this year, my friend. So, yeah, thank you very much for joining us today, Julian, and hope to see you very soon. Yeah.
All right, thank you. And yeah, see you soon. Very soon.
Excellent. Thanks, mate.
I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble.
Well, goodness gracious me.